We'll see.
You don't have to drink to have fun, Vincent.
But social norms have taught me that that's what I need to do.
It's Wednesday, September the 25th, and you're tuned in to the Champion Podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show. We talk about all the cool things in the whole wide world. Summer has officially come to an end.
Yes.
First day of fall, or two or three, is upon us.
Fucking finally.
Which, of course, means that our weather would turn around and give us the summer weather back.
Of course. That's how Canadian weather works.
Yeah, man. It's been cold for September.
It's like the trees are dying.
Yeah.
The colors are changing. But also, it's 30 degrees.
Yes, it's very hot. I've had a week where I've had to dress a little bit nicer. And let me tell you, it's not been fun.
Because it's been so hot?
Yes. Having on like a suit all day, it's not fun. Just been sweating under there. And I don't want to take off the jacket because I know my shirt is soaked.
Yeah.
So.
That's what you want.
Just suffer.
You want to suffer.
Yeah, so that's what's happening. This week we got a review for y'all.
Oh yes, I forgot already.
How could you forget?
I forgot that we were gonna review it.
Then we got that wild style.
It's almost like we are do a podcast.
We're talking about Trigger's latest anime film, Promar.
Damn, dude. Show's good.
Movie?
Spoilers.
The movie?
Movie show. Yeah. Same.
Alright, same. Okay. Fair enough. I'm with you on that one.
Yeah.
So, we're going to talk about that. Got some picks. I believe Sony had a gaming event.
They did, the State of Play.
And then, of course, our weeks. And as always, we start off with a question
to chew on.
Oh, I guess before that, by now, all the backlogged episodes should be up.
Yeah, thanks, Vince.
They should all be up.
Thanks for the heads up.
They are all up now.
Even the three anime clubs?
They're there.
Thanks for the heads up.
And there's three of... The regular show that's up.
I was just at work today.
Yeah.
And I saw like, bing, 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 bing. And I'm like, oh, here's a bunch of podcast episodes I got to make a Facebook post for.
Yeah.
Also, we're locked out of our Twitter account.
Why? What happened?
I don't know. It's every time you log in, it asks for a phone number. But it doesn't give you the option to not give a phone number. So I put in an appeal. So we'll see how it goes.
I got an email that said that appeal has gone through.
What do you mean? No, it's like being processed.
Well, I got one that said like it's been appealed.
Hello. What?
Yeah, your account is now restored.
Hey!
Please note that further violations may result in locking your account again.
We didn't violate anything, you fucks.
So, Anthony violated Twitter.
I didn't violate shit. I just post Twitter memes. I just post the episodes. I don't use that Twitter for anything.
Yes. Anyways, we're all caught up. I promise this week's episode will go up soon, too. It'll go up in like a month.
Okay.
Anyways, Paul writes in with a question to chew on. So most, if not all, anime change their theme song from season to season, and some even change them mid-season. By contrast, Western shows, at least here in the States, keep the same song for the duration of the entire series. Shows like The Office and Friends kept the same song for their 9-1-0 seasons. What?
What?
9-1-0 seasons.
What?
Whatever, 9-10 seasons.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which do you think is the better way to do it? Do you think that keeping the same song throughout it is better because it helps to brand the series? Or do you like it when varying songs differentiate the different story arcs?
I'm gonna take a controversial stance here.
Uh-oh.
And I'm going to say anime openings and endings don't matter.
Oh, he's so right. You're so right.
I'm going to take that curveball answer, and I'm going to tell you that as much as you love your opening, as much as you love,
oh, right? yes, right? Yes.
As much as you love that shit don't matter.
Yeah.
Because the anime opening is not the anime.
You're right.
Like, the thing that makes a legendary anime opening is when the show is good.
Yes.
Very rarely do I hear about someone who's like, man, you know what show was absolute dog shit?
Yeah.
This show. But, yo, that ending was banging, though. Yeah. Like, no one says that. All of the anime openings and endings that people love is because they're from a show that's perceived as good.
And especially at a point in time when the show has reached its peak. Yeah. Like that Naruto, what's the famous Naruto season? Is it season 4?
Oh, the Naruto German opening where yes. they pronounce Sasuke's name as Sasuke.
Yes. Yeah, right?
I know what you're talking about with the Naruto opening, yeah. but I forget which one it is. Yeah. I think it's a Kanabun opening. They did a lot for them. Mm-hmm. You Say Run. Like, that's not even... That's a song. Yeah. But it's only... that song wouldn't be as uplifting if that show wasn't good. Or the scenes that it was used in weren't as epic. Yeah.
And, I will totally... And I think don't get me wrong. Songs can be great. Yes. Yeah, they do not matter.
Yeah. At least within openings and endings, I feel that they do not matter. Right.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give you that. Yeah. Sure.
If they use a soundtrack to really pump up a tone or sure, but give you that adrenaline.
Yeah. But that's not really the question he's asking. Yeah. Here, right. Yeah. Yeah. So yes. Do I like how they've branded it in Western styles? I do like that. You always remember it. Everyone knows the claps and friends, right? Yeah. See, everyone knows that.
That's actually me jerking off.
Oh my god! So quick. How have you mastered that? I need to know that, man. Because I'll tell you right now, for me, it's just such a time sink.
Listen, all you gotta, you just gotta think of that one scene, and you're like, ooh, hot damn. You just gotta get down to a science. You gotta, prepare the hand.
Yeah, but I can't keep thinking about that same scene, because it's a case of, diminishing returns. It just gets longer and longer every time.
And then once you're, ready to go, it's like, pop, 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 and then you're done.
I want to know if I can think about being horny all day at the office, and then by the time I get home, I can just do it.
No, you gotta zen state that shit. You gotta be at the office all day, legs crossed, just constantly thinking about boobs. And then when you get home, you just sit in your chair, you just go, and just hands free.
Yeah, okay, you're right. Yeah. I do like that.
Can you meditate long enough and hard enough to get your rocks off without touching?
I've always tried and I've always failed. Because I get to the point where I'm like, I think it's gonna happen. I'm like, yo, fuck this. I'll just use the hand.
This is garbage. Yeah. It just needs a little boost.
Yeah, I'm like, this is never gonna happen. Wait, openings and shows.
Oh yeah.
I do prefer the Western way better. That said, my favorite openings are the ones where there's not even a theme song. It's just the logo and a sound.
Oh, okay.
Right? So Lost had it, or just... Dun, dun. Sure.
Isn't that Law & Order?
Yeah, that's Law & Order.
Dun, dun.
Yeah, see, I just prefer that.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
Title card, and then boom. I don't know. I think, what else had it? I was just watching it, too. Shit, I can't remember. Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
Right? It was just the
dun. Logo. Yeah. It was basically the Half-Life 2.
Yeah, and then it just had the Breaking Bad logo, yeah. And it was just that's it. And then I feel like that became so recognizable, Game of Thrones is the one where I'm like, this is an epic theme, but fuck me, it takes forever. Yeah. I like it when it plays in the show, but I hate...
Oh, it plays in the show, too?
Yeah, it plays in the show, but, I hate... Because it's on HBO, right? And we watch it live, and it's like, oh, 9 o'clock, it's starting! And it's like, wait, 2.5 minutes of the entire song we have to get through first.
And see this fucking intro.
Yeah.
Quick, get your last minute snacks.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
So... Yeah, no.
Yeah. That's hot take.
Yeah.
Anime openings don't matter.
Oh, it's sad, but true. It is sad, but true.
Thanks, Paul.
They do actually matter in one instance, though.
Which one?
When that anime is a movie.
Does it, though?
It does, because that's the opening credits of a movie, right? It's like any real movie. Or any real movie.
Yeah, why do you say real movie? Are you saying anime's not real? Fuck you.
No, but because I think we're talking about Promare, and that had a pretty exciting opening.
Bruh. that was a certified bruh moment.
Yes.
So Promare is the new Trigger anime.
Yeah.
It stars your favorite blue-haired spiky warrior, Kamina. Wait, no.
No,
not him.
What's his name?
I don't remember.
Is it not, I want to say it's not Guy, right?
It can't be. No. It can't be.
Because the other guy is Leo.
Yeah, I remember Leo. And he's in the movie less, and I barely remember the main character's name. But, if it sounds similar...
Gallo. Gallothymus. Yeah.
Gallothermus. Shallothermus. Yeah. That's his name.
Yeah.
So this Gallothermus is a rookie in the fire rescue squad. What is he? Is it like squad three? Like what?
I think so. They're squad three. Yeah.
Yeah. Squad three. And their, task is like first responders on a Promar outbreak.
Yes.
And you're asking me, what is a Promar? A Promar is a person who just spontaneously combusts. Cause apparently 30 years ago, there was the Great World Blaze.
Yeah.
And it killed off like half the population.
Yes.
And since then, they have, the people have made the, it's like the Promar, like the Fire Force, pretty much.
Yep.
And they keep the Promars in check because they are going around burning a bunch of shit. They can't control it, as Dark Phoenix would say. And we meet our hero running into a blaze. The Promar leader has set this fucking building on fire, and he's there to stop it. So as the movie continues on, there's like really deep, like, man, there's twists.
Yes.
And then more dead twists. And then they twist the twist, and it's, they bop it, they pull it. It's a whole thing. It's ridiculous.
Yes. Yes.
If I had to sum up this movie in two words, those two words are maximum trigger.
Ah.
Right? In the same way that Space Patrol Luluco was maximum trigger.
Yes.
This is maximum trigger.
Yeah.
What do you, like, what are your overall thoughts? Like, because you're, I would say that you're the bigger Trigger fan here in the room.
Oh, man, this movie was absolute fire.
Ha! Go home!
Dude, shit was lit.
God damn it. You're the worst. You get out of your 20s, you start saying dad jokes. What's wrong with you? What's happening?
Oh, fuck.
I think we should also mention, we drove an hour to see this movie.
We did.
Because our local theater was, like, sold out.
Well, that wasn't even our local theater. That was, like, our go-to anime theater, which is still a decent drive away.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why our city doesn't have it playing.
I don't know.
Anyways.
Because they suck.
Yeah, no, you're right. This is like Trigger's style crystallized to its purest form.
And then extended over like an hour and a half.
Well, no, it's not that. It's like, okay, if everyone who likes Kill La Kill, they'll always say like, oh, do you remember this moment was crazy?
Yeah.
This it's like, what if you just took all the crazy moments, filtered out any of like the slowed down story stuff, and then put that shit that what was left together in a movie.
But even when they do have the slowed down story shit,
they
still figure out ways to add like little comedic touches, little action touches and
for
stuff.
For sure. For sure.
Like they just can't help themselves.
Yeah. So when we started watching it, the first thing you notice about this movie is the art style.
Vibrant.
And it is like nothing that the studio has done before.
It is a bright.
And it's not quite as, we'll say, defined.
It's the way I like describing the art style in Promar is chunky. Like, everything in that show is chunky.
Yeah, yeah.
From the ice effects to the fire effects to the way they fight to robot designs.
Yeah.
Everything is chunky.
And the fire effects are like 32-bit.
Yeah.
Or like 16-bit. It's kind of wild.
It's like you're watching a vaporwave music video.
Kind of. Yeah. It's like really in your face too about it. And you're like, whoa, this is aggressive. But yeah, it's very bright and whatnot. I really enjoyed the movie.
Mm-hmm.
When I was watching it, apart from all like the, like, I expected there to be some wild action. And like, it never fails to deliver on that front.
They deliver.
Like, if there's something that you cannot deny about this movie, it's like, it is, it's always going to give you that hyped up action that you want. But I was a little taken aback by how simplified the whole story and the whole setup seemed. like, from the get-go, it just seemed like the most basic-ass, like, plot you've ever come across.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, this is, like, this is the opening half of a shonen show.
Yeah.
Which was like, I need to get stronger.
Yeah, and I'm
I need to fight those fires.
And then I was like, you know what? Maybe that's fine. Maybe that's what it needs to be, because it's, like, it's delivering on all the other things I want from it.
Yeah.
And then halfway through, it just it's just like, all right, the joke's over. Let's just drop the ball and go ham.
Yeah. And then it layers.
Yeah.
And then it layers.
And then it just layers. It just delivers. It just, it's the gift that never stops giving.
There's multiple moments where me and you are both like, oh, this is the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't, but in a good way.
Yeah.
Right? Where you're like, oh, man, like, I wish there was more, blah, blah, blah. And then there's more.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
Yeah, yeah. And then they have a lot of, like, little Easter eggs and nods to, like, other big anime that they've either taken part of or, like,
yeah,
cultural moments.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Something that they really like to do in this anime is they love making up silly names.
Yes.
And it, if you liked when in, what is it? Is it Kill la Kill where they have character introductions with names behind them, right?
Yeah, with the giant ass kanji. Yes. Yeah.
If you like that, you will love this movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because they do that, but not with character introductions.
They do with everything.
Just everything.
Do you got a name? Boom, boom! Like huge kanji.
Yeah. Yeah. And they even go so far as to call out the stupid names.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The villain you see coming from a mile away, but his level of lunacy is exactly what you'd expect it to be. And that's great. I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was super enjoyable.
Same. So I kind of mirror you on a lot of things. I really love, again, the fact that this, if I really want to be, like, jaded about it, I guess, I don't know if that's the right word,
okay,
but this is most definitely Trigger being like, we need to learn how to use 3D tools.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah.
Like a lot of this is we need to learn how to use 3D tools. We need to figure out how to use CG to our advantage for our upcoming projects. And a movie is the perfect way to do that. And the only reason I say this is because a lot of the stylistic choices, like I said, or like you said, are chunky.
Yeah.
So very limited poly counts, but they use it to stylize the
yeah.
scene. But also, they fucking love their Michael Bay close-up, spin-around, slow-motion. Yeah. Any fucking chance they get is just... and it's like yeah. Matrix slow-mo, turning around, checking out the whole scene. They're like, look, we modeled the world, we did all this stuff. And they even do little things with like certain people and villains and creatures that can, like, regenerate portions, right?
Yeah.
Where it, like, kind of goes to wireframe, and then yeah. they get stuff back, and, like, they really play around with 3D modeling
yeah.
and 3D animation to where that's why I thought of that. I'm just like, okay, they're really throwing it in our face, and they're really trying to, you know, not maybe get away, but expand their tool set.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, there's points in this movie where it almost even goes down to, like, flash animation.
Yeah.
Like, when they're skating on the ice,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and you're just like, what happened?
It's, like, two frames?
Yeah.
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 And so stuff like that where you're like, wow, these, like, CG fights look fucking rad. And then when they actually get to the animation.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a difference between, like, the, you know, like, the Mako scenes in Kill la Kill,
mm-hmm.
where it's really low animation count and she's yeah. just kind of warping everywhere.
Yeah,
they have that, right?
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, is this a stylistic choice? Are they saving money? Is it best of both worlds?
Yeah.
But that's my jaded portion of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But my other portion of the movie is like, this is Trigger doing just no holes bars exactly what they want to do, and they don't give any fucks if you like it or not.
Yeah.
They're like, we made this movie so that we can express, like, who we are
yeah.
as a studio
yep.
in the same way that was portrayed in Space Patrol Ilico.
Absolutely.
Right? And this, I can't say, enough. Like, we're definitely going to talk about this at End of the Year Awards.
Yeah.
But, holy balls.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's yeah. nutty. The amount of, like, just action, the twist, the... just when you think the movie's over, it keeps going. And
yeah,
the amount of dumb shit they get away with.
I can't stress enough the amount of dumb shit. Just the lunacy of some of this stuff.
Yeah. I'll give like a slight tiny, like not even a spoiler. They make multiple references to the main character being an idiot.
Yeah.
And the main character agrees that he's an idiot.
Yeah.
And so take that and then expound it to the rest of the movie. Like expand that shit as much as you can. And that's kind of what you're getting into with this. Like, it's really hard to not talk about the spoilers. Because, like you said, the stuff we can really talk about is that basic shonen archetype. Mm-hmm. Where you're just like, I'm a dude who has a fiery, burning passion. And I want to get stronger. And I want to do good.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the beginning, like, 20 minutes of that movie. But really, the stuff we want to talk about is the twists and turns after that.
Yeah.
Right? And they're so ridiculous.
Yeah.
And just balls to the wall crazy that if I do say anything, you're just like, okay, then why watch the movie?
Right? Yeah, like
it's all about experiencing.
Yeah, this is definitely something you have to experience. Like, and it's a shame that these anime movies are a limited time release, because I know by the time that you guys hear us talking about it, like, it probably will be unavailable.
Yeah,
and you'll have to wait for the Blu-ray. Which, and I do feel like this is something that you should watch on the big screen for how insane it gets.
It's crazy.
I don't know. I just, the giant title cards are.
It's a great stylistic choice. I'm surprised more studios haven't like aped that from them, right? Yeah. Where it's just like, not only is it large, but also sometimes they're in universe.
Yeah.
Like they're behind the person and they get affected by other things within the scene. And it's just like, oh, what? They just exist? Like they're just live things that happen when people say names?
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
But it is definitely like mind melting.
Oh yeah.
Right. By the end of that movie, I was kind of like mentally exhausted from the amount of shit.
Yeah.
Like I thought we were going to talk about the movie more on the ride home, but we didn't because I think we were both just like, that was a lot.
Yeah.
That was
a lot. Yeah, it's a lot to process.
There was a lot of things there. And I need to sleep on this.
But yeah, we can't stress enough. You have to be like a Trigger fan.
Oh yeah, no.
Like, if you watched Gridman or like Kill la Kill, or Space Patrol, and you're like, yeah, okay, that's fine. You're not gonna get anything out of this.
Yeah.
You're gonna be like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
It's
So I had posted up that I was seeing it on my Instagram, and I had a couple people message me. They're like, is it good? And I messaged them knowing either that these people are not anime fans or they're not Trigger fans. And I'm like, yeah, it's fucking amazing. But also, you'll hate it.
Yeah.
Like, you won't like it. Yeah. So don't watch it.
Yeah, like, that's the tough part, right? Like, I hate to put that, like, qualifier ahead of it. But, like, yeah, this is maximum Trigger. Like, it's...
And in turn, on the other hand, it's maximum anime.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this is not something... We talk about classics sometimes where we're like, how do you get somebody into anime? How do you kind of ease them in to that kind of stuff? This is not it. This is like end game. This is end game grinding shit. Like the true test is like, okay, you watch Bebop. We watched Fooly Cooly. That's a little bit weirder, right? But it still has like this normal undertone. And now we're just like, all right, let's see how much you can handle of the wacky.
Yeah. This is kind of like, how did you feel about the very end of Gurren Lagann? And then you're
like, it's the best.
Yeah.
It's some of the best ending in all of anime.
If you say it's the best, you will love this movie.
Yeah.
If you say anything other than that, maybe better to avoid.
Just chill, I guess.
Yeah. So that's my final say on it.
It's so good.
It is. It's very
so good.
And I think you're right. I think we are going to be talking about this at the end of the year. I don't know where it's going to land, but
it's going to be somewhere. I don't know if it'll win something, but we'll definitely be talking about it.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. Okay. Picks time. So it's basically the Sony stuff.
Yeah, it's the Sony stuff. And I got a couple more gaming stuff.
Okay.
So let me pull up all of my fucking Chrome tabs that I opened. Also, I checked that email.
What
email? That Twitter email.
Yeah.
And it was like something about, please outline or look at the guidelines for abuse. And I'm like, really? Is our podcast that bad? Like, yeah, is it really assault?
What did you abuse?
Did I abuse posting a YouTube link? Like,
apparently.
I guess. I don't know. Whatever. So this is just, here's a couple quick ones. So September 23rd was 2 days ago as of this recording.
Okay.
And it was Nintendo's 130th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
On this day in 1889, Nintendo was first founded, creating Hanafuda cards and playing cards for the masses. Ooh,
okay.
That's just a cool little piece of history.
Yeah.
That's all I got there.
Yeah.
Bandai Namco filed for some new trademarks under Encore titles. And with that, it hints at the return of Splatterhouse.
Yeah.
Klonoa.
Okay.
And Mr. Driller.
Oh.
So Bandai Namco is filing for trademarks in Japan that could mean the return of Mr. Driller and Klonoa. What these are, we don't know, but Bandai Namco has released an Encore title already. In Japan, it was called Katamari Damacy Encore, but here it's called Katamari Damacy Reroll. So these are remasters.
Reroll.
Yeah, get it? Because you roll the Katamari.
Hilarious. Yeah.
So, so they have done it already, so these are most likely going to be remasters. But considering that Mr. Driller and Klonoa are not cheap,
yes,
I am all for it.
Okay.
It's just exciting for me because I think Klonoa is one of my favorite platformers. It is definitely the most interesting, and the level of like easy to play, hard to master in Klonoa that's a true curve. Where when you're playing at the first level and you barely need to use the ring.
Yeah.
But then you get to like the end game stuff and there's no floor for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, Klonoa was a special game.
Klonoa Savage. It's almost as special as Tomba. Remember Tomba?
Let's not go there.
This is another quick one. Nioh 2 is getting ready for an open beta in early November.
Okay.
November 1st. My bad. So November 1st, it'll have a 10-day open beta on the PS4.
Wow, 10 day?
Yeah.
That's a big window.
Yeah. So I don't know if this is going to be the same as the alpha that you had sent me.
Yeah.
But man, Nioh 2, it's coming. I sang its praises during that closed alpha and it's good.
Okay. I
recommend it. There was a Final Fantasy 14 live stream. Now, neither of us play that game anymore, but I just did want to note that they are having a crossover with Nier Automata.
Oh, so you're back?
No.
Oh.
I'll probably watch my friend play the raid, but it is a 24-player raid set in Nier Automata's world.
What are they fighting?
I assume the robots from Nier Automata. Maybe Adam and Eve, maybe some of the bosses.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And as you can see from this picture, the female characters get a 2B armor skin.
Of course they do.
So cool. So cool.
Of course they do.
And yeah, that's just cool. That's just a cool thing that I just wanted to say.
Okay.
The next one I'm kind of jealous of is it's Japanese exclusive. And Sega is bringing the Virtua On series to the PS4.
Oh, what?
In a, it's called Cyber Troopers Virtua On Masterpiece, 1995 to 2000.
Oh my God!
Yeah, it is a digital-only release remaster of the original Cyber Troopers Virtua On. Virtua On how do you pronounce that? Oratorio.
Okay.
Tangram. Yeah, and Virtua On Force, which were the sequels to the other ones.
Okay.
I love Virtua On. If you've ever played the Gundam Versus series of games, you have Virtua On to thank for those, because
that's basically where
it came from. And I'm jealous. I want it. But in order to buy this, if you're listening and you're a fan of Virtua On, the only way you can get this right now is the Japanese PlayStation Store.
Yes.
I don't know if it's out yet, but in order to get it on the PlayStation Store there, you need to create a PlayStation account in Japan,
yeah,
where you need a Japanese address and
yes.
credit card. And
yes.
Yeah, it's wild
the
things you need to do.
The hoops you have to jump through just to, yeah. like, man. I thought the internet was supposed to ease these things. But
you forget. It's Japan.
All right. Japan. Those mother truckers.
The last quick one is Sony going back to the past, and they've opened up a digital physical store. They've opened up a digital store, a first-party Sony website store, where you can buy physical goods. So okay. if you want to buy first-party PlayStation games, like the Marvel Spider-Man game, you want to buy Uncharted,
okay.
Last of Us, you want to buy headphones,
okay.
you want to buy PlayStation systems, they have opened up a store online, just bypassing retailers, where you can just buy their shit now.
I see.
It's really interesting that as... I think you mentioned a couple weeks ago, or maybe in just private, that EB Games is slowly tanking.
Yeah.
That Sony is now like, man, you know what's up? Physical goods, bro!
Okay.
It's a really interesting move. So right now they're only posting stuff that they have first party ownership of.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see that if game stores, like, over the years do eventually die off, if the future is, if you want physical goods, we buy.
So this is specifically a PlayStation store?
Yes.
Okay. Because I was going to say, you know, it wasn't that long ago that I remember walking into the Sony store.
Remember the Sony store?
Yeah, that was the coolest store ever.
Was it?
I don't know.
It's closed down now. I don't know.
They had big TVs.
They had giant... fucking, you would go, like, I remember loitering in the mall, yeah. and you go into the back where the home theater setup was, and you just sit on that big ass couch.
Yeah. They also, well, you know what, they have the Microsoft store, so I guess Sony needs to come back.
Yeah. But the big thing is that Sony had a State of Play event, basically Nintendo Direct. They announced a bunch of stuff.
They did.
So I'm gonna go through the only things I kind of, like, I'm either mildly interested in or care about.
Okay.
So I'll start with the mildly interested in. L.A. Noire is getting released again in PlayStation VR.
Mm-hmm.
Who asked for this?
I don't know. Sony's got to, like, sell their VR unit.
I guess. Civ 6 is coming to the PlayStation?
Who asked for that?
Who asked for this? What do they do? They're just like, listen, we got money to spare. The less exclusive Xbox has, the better. Yeah. It's like, man, you're just playing dirty now.
Yeah.
Civ 6, wow. Like, who cares? And now we move on to the... I guess I don't really care about that. Medieval. There's a demo out.
No, thanks.
You can play it, and if you beat the demo, you get a hat.
In the
full game.
Okay.
Then we move on to Death Stranding. No new information there, except that there is a special edition PS4 Pro.
Yes, I saw this.
It's all white with a bunch of black handprints on it.
Yeah.
But it's got a baller clear yellow controller that I want.
Oh, the PP yellow controller.
The PP yellow controller, baby.
Yeah.
That's what I need.
Yeah.
But also,
yes.
I think it only comes in that PS4 Pro bundle.
It does, yes.
So I'm not buying another PS4 Pro.
Did you see what's cool about that controller?
No.
The baby is in it.
The baby's inside the controller.
The baby is in it.
Oh my god. I want the controller.
So.
I hope they sell the controller separate.
You know they're not.
God damn it. All right. Got a budget for another $700. And now we get into the stuff that I think is cool. So first off is After Party.
After Party
is made by the people who did Oxenfree, which
you
probably heard of it. I think it was free on PlayStation Plus a while ago. It's like an adventure game, and they're creating a new adventure game where you play as two best bros, a guy and a girl. They're just about to graduate college, and they die and get sent to hell.
Yes, they do.
And when they're in hell, they're getting a ride through the River Styx from some dude, and the guy, or the demon, kind of lets it slip that there's a loophole to staying in hell, where if you can outdrink Satan, you can escape hell.
It's one hell of a loophole.
One hell of a loophole.
Wow.
So your whole goal now is you and your friend have to out-party the major demons of hell to then out-drink Satan to escape hell.
Yes.
It's such a wild concept, and I love it. I thought Oxenfree was really cool visually, but I love this totally wild story concept along with their really nice 2D art style, so I'm definitely going to be keeping my eye on that one. Humanity is a new game made by, was it Enhance Games? The main one there, I think it's Sakaguchi, is that it?
Yeah.
Sakaguchi, the man behind Rez.
Mm-hmm.
The man behind the Trance Vibrator.
Yes, that was him.
It was all him.
The full suit.
That's that haptic feedback. So you want that shit?
Yes.
You want to feel the vibrate? You want to be in the music?
I do.
Enhanced Games, they're making a new game called Humanity. And I have no clue what it is. It kind of reminds me of Lemmings from the trailer.
On steroids?
What if you had a billion lemmings and you got to fight them against other lemmings? The only hint of gameplay they have is that you have a crowd of people that follow a track and you could set different commands on that track, like jump or swim or turn around or something. Other than that, I have no clue what this game is. This is a drug fever dream, like Rez.
My only question is, I can't see the link, because like this is advertised as a VR game.
Yeah.
And I don't see the link. Like, what is the VR hook here? Yeah. I just don't understand.
Like, I guess you'll have to see gameplay. I don't know, man. Like, even Rez, even when they were like, we're put Rez in VR, I'm like, why? But then they showed that. Then they showed that Area X shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I get it. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm sure there's something like totally off the wall that we would have never thought of.
Yeah.
And it's there somewhere, but I don't know what this trailer is. It's just a drug fever dream.
Yeah.
Next up is the new Keita Takahashi game of Katamari Damacy and Nobi Nobi Boy fame. Watam.
Oh, yeah.
Again, Japan with the drug fever dreams.
Yeah, I have no idea what this one's
you
about.
You play as a cube with the mustache and a top hat who makes friends with people and then helps them explode. And, like, the whole trailer is a bunch of children laughing.
Yes. I don't know.
What is this?
I don't know.
What is this?
I don't know.
You're going to just eventually tell me that it's about penetrating people and...
It's about feeding your length to girl?
Yeah.
You're going to bring it full circle?
Yeah. And then wrapping around a giant ball around the world.
Oh, you know, listen. They showed that map at the end and I'm like, I don't know, man. That looks like the main menu from Katamari 1. I don't know, man.
Could be.
It's fucking weird. And I love that I think the only reason that they're making shit like this or allowing stuff like the Enhance to do their things or Watam to do that is that Sony is so ahead.
Yeah.
That it reminds me of PS2 era Sony where they're just like, just do shit.
Just give us whatever.
Just go for it. You want to you want to make a mailman simulator? Just go. You want to make a game about a toilet that eats a poop and then gets happy and then you explode that toilet?
Yeah. They have to, right? Because like, that's kind of like, that's the last bastion of where PC games still have the edge. They just had everything there, right? And I feel like...
They have the downside, though. They have everything.
You're right. They have no curation process.
Zero curation. Absolute zero curation, right? Let me tell you about a game called Mirror. No,
no thank you.
What if you want to play Porn Bejeweled? Right, like they got everything, but also it's just so much that you don't know really what's good, what's bad, where's the curation. Next is they showed Call of Duty, the story trailer
for Modern Warfare.
It's Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Yeah,
it's intense,
very intense.
Intense, man.
Whoa, what? I thought I was watching a Ridley Scott film for a second.
Is it Soap? The guy, is that his name?
Yeah, McTavish.
So McTavish is there, rocking that fucking mutton chop mustache combo.
Yeah.
What a baller.
Yeah.
And it's... Like, I could go into the intricacies of the story, because they really lay out what the story is.
Yeah.
But really, it all boils down to, it's war, bruh.
You gotta fight them.
Yeah. We're America, and there's some bitches that stole some shit that we don't like.
Listen, if you can't identify the target, you are the target.
Woo-ah, baby. Like, fuck. It's fucking intense. Shit is bumping in the Middle East.
Looks exciting.
I kind of can't wait.
It looks so exciting.
I kind of can't wait. Like, my favorite portions of Call of Duty Modern Warfare series were those insanely tense sections.
Yeah.
Because they were borderline anime. Like, yes. They were so fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
I kind of hope they have something. Like, I still think one of my favorite scenes in any video game ever is No Russian.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Like, that scene is absolute savagery.
Yeah.
Right? But I
no Russian.
Remember, no Russian. Just gun down civilians. That's fucking brutal. Like, even in movies, I haven't seen something that impactful. That's rough. And you got to do that shit.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to, but
it's too easy not to.
It's too easy not. Yeah.
Just hold the trigger.
Just hold the trigger. Just let it go, baby. Just unload that clip.
Jesus.
It looks intense.
Yeah, it does.
And it makes me want to replay all those games again.
I think I'm going to play the first one again, the remaster, just to do the sniper mission.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I remember when that first came out. That was wild.
Yeah. When, like, you're looking at a field of grass and it comes out of the grass, you're like, oh, shit, graphics.
Yeah. Holy fuck. Shit. And then he's like, you go on the right, I take the left. And he does it with you, and you're like, oh.
It's so, or was it like when you take the lead, take them out, and they do the dual headshot thing?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So good.
Yeah.
Video games. It looks great. I've been watching a lot of multiplayer on Twitch when the beta was up.
Yeah.
That shit looks awesome.
It does, doesn't it?
It looks so good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Call of Duty's back. There's also some Call of Duty thing called Dark Divide.
Yeah, so you put the trailer for this up, and the trailer just says Dark Divide.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this, some sort of Fortnite ripoff? Like,
and you watch the trailer, and it's a bunch of superheroes.
Yeah.
They're in an Avengers-looking thing.
Yeah, and I'm like, what is this?
It is a Call of Duty Black Ops 4 multiplayer map where you battle. Here's the YouTube description. Black Ops Battle Pass owners get instant access to two exciting new multiplayer maps. In Operation Dark Divide, battle through a volcanic villain's lair in Lair, and fight around an active rocket launch site with the remastered launch map.
Wow.
Owners also get a fresh new zombie contact with Tag Der Toten. So I think all that superhero shit, I think that's a zombies map.
Oh.
Like, that's the zombie play mode.
Oh, they just reskinned it?
And they reskinned the shit out of it to make it Avengers-esque.
Oh. Weird.
That threw me for a loop when I watched it.
That's so weird.
Because I remember clicking on the trailer because the article that it was in said Call of Duty in it. And then I watched it and I was like, this ain't Call of Duty.
Yeah.
And then the end of the trailer just shows Black Ops 4 and you're like... What?
Yeah.
What is happening?
Because nowhere in the trailer is there a first-person view. It is nowhere. Just all third-person action.
Yep. Is there a person with a bow?
Yeah. What? What is this?
It's so sick. It was cool. It was really cool.
All right.
But the biggest announcement was The Last of Us 2.
Yes.
Had a new trailer.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's a sequel to the last trailer.
Kinda, yes.
Because it takes place after the party where Ellie and that other girl have her kiss, their smooch.
Yeah.
And they're smoking weed like a bunch of fucking hippies.
Yeah.
And they say, like, hey, scale of 1 to 10, like, how's that kiss going, bro? And she's like, And they reveal the whole motive behind Ellie's revenge spree.
Yeah.
Which is they went out from their town to go on a routine check of the perimeter. Ellie's girlfriend got kidnapped and murdered.
Yeah.
And now Ellie is like, I'm going to straight up murder everyone who did this to me. And they show a lot of just brutality. People just, I forgot how brutal The Last of Us is.
It's pretty brutal.
It's kind of rough.
Isn't there that one level where you have to play as her and you're trying to escape? Like, the boss fight is the other dude.
Oh, the child raping cannibal?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Because there's a part in this trailer where, like, I have to wonder, like, did they rape Ellie in this?
Yeah, because, like, they show a scene where everything goes black.
Yeah.
And she just has bruises and scars.
Yeah, and I'm like, ooh, that's, like, if they pull it off, they pull it off. But also, like,
whoa. If there's someone who can, if there's a studio that can do it, I think Naughty Dog could probably do it.
Yeah, but how are they going to do it without getting, like, that adult-only rating?
I think they do the implication thing, okay. Or it's just like scenes. Like, no, here's what it is.
Yeah.
It's going to be rough. She's going to be fighting back, right?
Yeah.
They shoot her girlfriend in front of her eyes. They shoot back, and it's going to be, boom, knocked out, and it's going to cut to black real fast.
Yeah.
Then it's going to come back, and it's just going to show her head with like lifeless eyes.
Oh, no.
It's just like kind of like rocking back and forth.
Oh, no.
And like, but she's on, you clearly see that she's on a bed.
Oh, no. Oh, that's so sad.
Like, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be rough.
I really hope it's not that, but I also hope that it is that.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the only, I think that's the only way they could show it or imply it, right? Yeah. Unless they just skip over it and they start to reveal it through in-game dialogue.
That
these people killed my girlfriend in front of my eyes and then raped me.
Yeah.
Because that, you know, that's a good implication. I didn't even think of that until right now because she got beat the fuck up.
Yeah. Like, and that was the first thing in my head because you see all the, like, she's naked and she has marks all over her body. I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, fuck no. This child that we protected this whole first game.
Swinging into the road.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. Also, the other ones, Joel's back.
I see. That's my big question is, like, what happened to Joel and Ellie?
How come he's not in the town?
Yeah, like, why do they have this, like, distance? Because I'm pretty sure he didn't tell her.
No, that's the whole thing about the ending, right? Is that you're going through, like, fatherly bond, you have the whole thing, and then at the very, spoilers, I guess, for this almost 10-year-old game, Joel doesn't fucking tell her.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like, oh shit, am I been playing like the bad guy the whole time? Like, you're kind of like wondering about like Joel's moral stance on things.
Yep.
And like, just because you saw him as a dad doesn't mean he's necessarily a great person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a lot of shit.
Yep.
That's why I love that game.
Yeah. So we'll, I'm very excited.
Yeah. And they have a release date, February 20th, 2020.
So,
or is it 21st?
No, it's 20.
20?
So 02202020.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Got it. That video game launch date. So yeah. It's there.
Okay.
It's coming.
Mm.
With this, they also announced a whole fuck ton of pre-order options.
Oh yeah.
So you can get the base game.
Yes, you can.
Pleb.
Yeah.
Then you can get that special edition, right? Comes with like a mini art book, I think.
Okay.
And a digital soundtrack. Then you can get that collector's edition.
Mm-hmm.
It comes with like a statue of Ellie and a whole bunch of other shit.
Okay.
An art book, whatever. Or you can get the Ellie edition.
Excuse me?
The Ellie edition.
Oh, okay.
The Ellie edition.
Please tell me more.
Comes with everything that the collector's edition has, but also includes a full-size Ellie backpack.
Oh.
What did you want?
I thought you'd say a full-sized Ellie.
Oh, no. It comes with a real doll in a box.
Yeah, I was like, no fucking way.
No fucking way, you little what? It comes with a full-size Ellie backpack. I'm trying to find a picture of it, but it's
pretty way cute, down actually. There. Katniss Everdeen.
It's dark. Yeah, but what if Katniss Everdeen got raped?
Listen, in my version of that book, she did.
I've been reading some fanfic. some explicit fanfic. Alright. Oh no. Oh, Ellie edition. There it is.
Ellie edition. I forget what kind of bag she had.
Oh, and it comes with a 7-inch vinyl.
What?
Yeah.
For what?
Of some of the soundtrack.
Yo, that's just a Herschel Supply backpack. I have that backpack.
Then you got that Ellie cosplay.
But here's the thing. It's not a cheap backpack.
It's not a cheap
backpack. That Herschel Supply backpack was not cheap.
This collector's edition, if I remember the price correctly, because right now it says unavailable on the American Amazon, I think it was $230 American.
What?
Yeah.
Oof. You know what? That kind of checks out.
It's like $300 Canadian.
That checks out, because if a game, if let's say the what's the collector's edition, like 130?
I think 150.
Okay, that checks out, because yeah, because those first, like those
standard is, so in, this is an American dollar. Yeah. Standard is 60.
Yeah.
Special is 80.
Yeah.
Collector's is 170.
Collector's is 170?
Yeah.
Yo, the LA edition's a bargain then.
You might as well.
For $60 more, you get a backpack?
Yeah, just go for it.
Yo,
and a vinyl?
What the fuck? That's a deal.
Oh, and that, yeah, that was the big announcement coming out of it. Last of Us 2 has a release date.
Yeah, exciting.
And then you had...
Oh, just the trailer for...
the Breaking Bad movie.
Yeah, the Breaking Bad... Like, what?
Breaking... So, a couple... I think it was a couple months ago, the story broke that Aaron Paul and... forget Walter White's actor name. What's his real name?
Bryan Cranston.
They both basically revealed on Twitter that they had finished filming the Breaking Bad movie.
And you're like, Bryan Cranston, you dead.
How's yeah, you here? And everyone was like, what the fuck are they even talking about? How could they film this, one, with one of the characters dead, and two, without nobody knowing?
Yeah, yeah.
But they did it. And the trailer is here. And it is basically all Aaron Paul. It basically happens right after the end of the series.
Which, there is no dialogue in this trailer.
Except for the final words at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like no dialogue. And it's all suspenseful, mysterious music and kind of wishy-washy scenes. But you do get from the gist of it that it takes place immediately after the end of the series.
Yeah.
So after Mr. White
is... Like immediately.
Yeah. Like, yeah, after Mr. White is Mr. Gone. And...
he drives away in the El Camino.
Yeah. And that's all we basically know.
This is the way you do a movie trailer.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
Right? You show some enticing ass shit. Like, granted, this does have the show for us to go off of.
Yeah.
But also, you just show some interesting stuff. You have no clue what anything is.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I just want to see that. They spoil nothing.
Yeah. This comes out next month. I think October 10th?
Soon.
Very soon.
2 weeks.
Yes, which is great. This means that we don't have to wait too long for it.
Yeah.
How do you feel like... Well, what do you think Bryan Cranston's character is going to be in this?
I think that the only way they're going to put him in is if it's through flashbacks.
Flashbacks?
Because he's dead.
Is he?
I swear to God, if it turns into like a zombie movie...
He's Heisenberg, though.
He's dead. But that would be the only way that would ruin this movie.
If he's alive.
If he's just like, JK, LOL, my disease was...
You're probably right. It probably benign. Is flashbacks. I'm going to go with like it's... he just imagines him because he's broken mentally.
Oh, that could be it too.
Right?
Yeah.
You like how...
Just like he's stuck and doesn't know what to do. And then
Mr. Yeah. White will appear and be like, just do it.
Just do it, pussy.
Just do it. Bitch.
There's a pizza on the roof, bitch.
I just watched that epic rap battle.
They made one with him?
Yeah.
Oh.
Who is it? Walter White versus... I forget.
I gotta watch that.
I forget. I forget, yeah.
After this, we gotta watch that.
Yeah. It's pretty good. But I'm excited.
It looks cool.
Yeah.
I think we should watch that for the podcast.
We probably should, and we probably will. I to be honest, though, I can barely remember Breaking Bad, so I might have to watch like a
YouTube like catch-up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to figure it out. So, yep. Oh, it was Walter White versus Rick Grimes.
What?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, okay. That's what it was, yeah. Okay, that's it for picks. Time for weeks.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, mine's quick. Welcome to another week of nothing.
Because
I did nothing.
Yeah, we had a Monster Hunter night planned.
Yeah.
You fucking bailed.
I had things to do.
You suck. Listen, monsters before other different friends, okay? You gotta stop this.
But I...
No excuses! We gotta get you to the end game.
What's that word? Is it hoes before bros?
No, it's the other way.
Oh.
It's bros before hoes.
Oh, that's what I've been doing wrong then. Oh, shit!
I've been doing the hoe part first.
Oh,
fuck
me! Damn! Okay. The one thing I did is I watched the newest series, or the first episode of Terrace House.
I can't get into this show. I cried on multiple occasions.
I love this show. It's so great. You know why I love this show? Because of the commentary side of it.
Oh, when you get like the stars hanging out.
Yeah, and they're like, what the fuck? Yeah, that's my favorite. That's the best part of the Terrace House. Okay. But no, so the big thing about Terrace House this season is that it's been an ongoing show for a while in Japan. Mm-hmm. And in Japan, it started out as like they took different places within Japan that they went to.
Yeah.
But when they serialized it and brought it over on Netflix to the international audience, only the first season that was serialized here was in Japan. After that, they kind of took it different places.
Yeah.
Right?
Aloha State.
Yeah, right. Or sorry, not Japan, but like it used to always take place in Tokyo, and then they started going around different places, right? So this is the first time that the show has come back to Tokyo. And I've always wanted to see like the Tokyo dating life. And that's what makes this one interesting.
I bet it's nutty.
It is. I won't spoil anything, but it's I think this is gonna be a good series.
God damn it.
I think it's gonna be great.
Okay.
It fills my I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, Jesus Christ, I like so much trash.
You do.
I do.
You like a lot of trash. And it's okay.
I do. I'm still watching that Korean drama.
Which one?
Hwarang.
Is that the one with the video game?
No, that's the one with all the boys who are super extra.
Oh my god.
And the one girl who only tells me lewd stories.
Ugh.
God, that's still good.
What are you doing?
Huh?
What are you doing?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing with my life.
You're not playing Monster Hunter. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, I know. What have I done?
We gotta beat that Bracadillos.
Oh, fuck. Okay, yeah. But that was my week.
That's it?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Seriously.
Mine's been pretty quick, too. I played a little bit of Monster Hunter. I unlocked an accessory that gives you Bludgeoner and non-elemental boost. Or is it Bludgeoner and Mind's Eye? I forget.
Bludgeoner and Mind's Eye?
I think so.
Oh my god.
Or is it Bludgeoner? I forget.
So you don't bounce, but you can do infinite KO damage?
Yeah.
Or Part Breaker?
Not Part Breaker. Bludgeoner is the one where you get more attack the lower your sharpness is.
Oh my god. Oh, so you don't bounce.
Yeah.
Holy
so I forget. It's either Mind's Eye or it's there's another hammer skill that's really useful. But whatever. It's basically the jewel you use to make Master Rank hammer set.
Jeez.
And so I'm like, oh, I got a new goal. I gotta face a bunch of Acid Glavinus and I gotta get his hammer.
Oh my god.
I gotta do all the KO damage, baby.
All of it. That sounds insane if you have Bludgeoner and Mind's Eye. What the?
Yo, Mind's Eye, it's a rare jewel, but it's a two slot.
That's it.
It's a two slot jewel. That's it.
That's it, eh? Shit.
It's good.
Crazy. That's crazy.
It's good. So yeah, I played a little bit of that, and I think I kind of killed my own fun this week with Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
Because I made it a goal. I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do every optional quest.
Oh.
In order.
Okay.
In order.
Okay.
So that means I have to go through each optional quest. I have to cap every monster to unlock the special arena portions of them.
You mean you haven't been doing that since the start?
Yeah, but you know, like sometimes I just do it just in case I missed one. Like I just capture everything now. Okay. I don't kill anything unless it's in the arena.
Okay.
And yeah, I kind of got burnt out. I was fighting a lot of monsters I didn't need. My gear was kind of stagnant.
Yeah.
And I kind of ruined my own fun.
Damn.
And I went back to PoE.
Wow. I think you and TJ had the same problem.
What?
About just burning out on Monster Hunter.
Yeah. I haven't even gone into the endgame stuff. Like, I haven't done any of the Savage Land shit. Or any of, like, Savage Devil Joe.
Because I just remember reading our group chat, and TJ's like, just tell me you guys go on, because it's no fun playing alone.
Yeah, because I think we're both doing the same thing, where we're just kind of mowing
through. Yeah, I'm just, every day I'm like, oh man, I feel like I should get on this. Meanwhile, all right, next drink, please.
Yeah, next drink. Also, these Korean pretty boys. God damn it. So yeah, I went back to Path of Exile.
Okay.
On Sunday, I think it was, I got hooked so bad, I played for 7 hours straight.
Oh shit.
I have
it's a media event.
I now have a level 77 character.
Oh.
Max is 100.
Oh.
I beat this full story.
Ah.
And I'm in the end game.
Wow.
So I think I was talking about it before. I was trying to make a minion build, and I'm pretty much there. Right now, it's a lot of armor optimization, getting linked armor, which is very expensive. And the linked armor, like I think I mentioned it last time, where you gem in your skills, but then you can have support skills. And if your armor is linked, those support skills will support your skill gem within the linked thing, right? So I've been doing that, and the end game is something called mapping. So after you beat the game, you come across this girl, and she's like, I made this map device, and you can put in these ancient relics into it. And when you go into the portals that exist within the Path of Exile universe, but if you go into these portals, they take you to different places that look like areas in the game, but are not. They're like set in a different universe. And you learn that there's these ancient beings called Shapers.
Yeah.
And they literally shape the universe and the cosmos.
Yeah.
And your whole thing is now you have a galactic atlas. And once you get to that area of the game, when you start farming, enemies can drop maps. And then when you get those maps, you use them to navigate the atlas.
Yeah.
And there's a whole sub-story of like the creation of the Path of Exile universe through these like Eldritch Horror people.
Yeah.
And that's endgame. The endgame is do maps forever.
Oh.
Whoa.
And some would argue that's where the real Path of Exile begins.
Whoa.
Because all the maps are just they're tile sets from the actual game. Some unique.
Yeah.
But they have a lot of modifiers on it. So say like enemies, when enemies attack you, they'll always ignite you. Pack density is 50% greater in this, right? And it is how you get all your loot, get all your end game. And I have been introduced to PoE trading. So their website has a subsection on it where people can list items that they have in public stash tabs. So you know I said those premium stash tabs?
Yeah.
You can make those tabs public. And when you put something in there, you can set a price on it. When you set that price, it puts that item up into a board. And that trading board, you can search for exact, like, I need this piece of armor with these colored sockets. Two of them are linked, but the other ones don't have to be. Like, you can get super, super specific. And then someone out in the game world, it'll show you who's online, who has it, most recently posted, and how much it costs. Then there's a little button that says Whisper. You click on that button, it copies an automated message to your clipboard. You go in-game, paste it, and it's a whisper to the player with what item it is, how much it costs, what it's called, and what position it's in their stash.
Whoa. Right?
So it's like, oh, it's in the fifth stash tab in this section.
Whoa.
Because like people have like hundreds of stash tabs in these games.
Yeah.
And I have gone into the PoE economy.
Oh. Trading stocks and bonds over here.
I'm trading stocks and bonds in the form of currency items, things like Chaos Orbs and Exalted Exalts and armor and items. And it's wild. It's wild, wild, wild shit.
Yeah.
The other thing, so mapping, the progress in mapping is significantly slower.
Yeah.
And while I really love minion builds, right now, I am not optimized for survivability. So sometimes I'll just meet a ranged elemental enemy that's just in the wrong element that I'm not ready for, and it'll just OHKO me. Like, straight up, no issue.
Get fucked.
And so I'm like, you know what? I think I'm finally free. Mapping progress is super slow, right? Because it's endgame content. And it's just, I'm so poor and it's so expensive for me to finalize my build that I'm like, I'm free. I'm probably free. Herein lies the rub. I apparently, over the course of my game playthrough, have unlocked the three key items for leveling other characters.
Oh.
The main of which is called the Tabula Rasa.
Mm-hmm.
The Tabula Rasa is a plain white robe It has no level requirement. It has no stats. Zero stats.
Okay.
But it has 6 linked white slots. And white slots means anything can go into it.
Oh, you can make whatever you want.
So what you do is that you put on this chest piece. You buy all your gems with your endgame character. You put them in the stash. Then you get your level 1 character to take the tabula. And you just mow through the fucking game.
Wow.
Because you have some busted ass skill that'll kill everything.
Right. You don't have any restrictions or.
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
And now I'm looking at this one build.
Oh my God.
Called Winter Orb, where a ball of ice permanently sits above your head.
Okay.
And you just walk.
Oh my gosh.
And it auto attacks.
Wow.
You just walk around.
So this item sounds like they've just created it to keep you going.
Yeah. Also, if you wanted to buy it, like if I didn't find it,
yeah.
If you wanted to buy it, super cheap. In this won't mean anything to you, but it's 1 chaos orb in PoE currency.
Yeah.
And like those are kind of rare, but not super rare to where you're just like, by the end game, you'll have at least 5.
Okay.
Right. And so you just like 1 chaos and buy a tabula.
Yeah.
Go level up a new character.
Wow. Okay.
It's a dangerous game. Mm. It's a dangerous game.
Mm.
So yeah, I've been playing a lot of PoE. But then also on my trips out on the train, on the public transit, I've been trying to catch up with Demon Slayer.
Oh yes.
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 So when I last left that hero, yeah. He was trying to cut a boulder.
Yes.
And he eventually cut a boulder.
He cut the boulder.
And now he just beat... What did he just beat? He beat the kickball lady.
Yes.
And now I totally see why you guys are flipping the fuck out about this show. Because it's good!
Yeah!
It's so good!
Yeah!
The one thing that I love about this is that Demon Slayer is able to give you like little snippets of story information. And shit that's way beyond the main character's power level at this point, but still like keep you interested. Like when he gets a sword and it turns black.
Yeah.
Right? And you're like, we don't know what the black swords do because everyone dies. And they're like, oh wait, what do the other colored swords do? Like there's a lot of implications for what they tell you.
Yeah.
And it just like you're like, I just wanna know. Other things they're really good at doing is using ambiguous scenes to ramp up tension within a split second.
Yes.
There's one fight where he fights, what's the main character's name again?
Oh fuck, I forget his name.
Waterboy.
Yeah, Tanjiro.
Yeah, Tanjiro is fighting a demon that can create swamps.
Yes.
And he kind of has his own like pocket dimension,
mm-hmm.
that he can like swim around underground and then do whatever. And there's a scene where Swamp Man is going to kidnap a girl.
Yeah.
And what happens is that Swamp Man is going for the girl. Tanjiro is going for the girl. I just want to call him Tangerine. And all you see is a hand.
Yeah.
It's a hand grabbing cloth.
Yeah.
Of the dress. And then that cloth ripping in their hands.
Yeah.
But the thing is that they have purposefully made this hand ambiguous.
Yeah.
And in that split moment, you're like, did Tanjiro get her? Did the demon get her? Like, what's happening? What's going on? And, like, there's a lot of little examples like that where it's that little split second.
Yeah.
And then like, you get this sigh of relief or this shock if it goes the other way. Yeah. Like, it's so good at storytelling and creating tension in a scene. Yeah. Like, it's sick. It's so good.
Yeah. How do you feel about them adding that like cool watercolor Japanese art into the attacks and stuff?
I think that's a very clever use of CG.
Yeah, it's real cool.
It's real cool.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at it. It looks good. I ain't mad. Like Tupac said, I ain't mad at you. Come on. I ain't mad at you.
Okay.
Trying to make it out the hood. I get it.
Okay.
It's something where when you look at it, it's very visually striking.
Yeah.
And you can definitely say like, hey, that's either CG, that's some rotoscoping. I don't know what that is, but definitely not hand animated.
Yeah.
And you look at that, but it's like done so well and it's done so tastefully.
Yeah.
That it's not offensive, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's used in just the right way, especially when it comes to like things like that was the fucking water wheel attack.
Oh yeah.
Right. That looks so nice. You get that perfect circle.
Yeah.
You get the little waves going on. Yeah. In the kickball fight when the one demon has all the arrows and it uses that in really clever ways to show direction and stuff like that. They're very smart with their use of CG and can't be mad at it, bro.
No, you can't
be mad at it.
You can't be mad at it. How do you feel about Nezuko?
Nezuko is, I thought she was going to definitely be just like useless little sister, but she's rad. I think the whole like bamboo mouth thing is a little much in terms of character design, but they actually let her be her own character, right? And even though she doesn't really talk and a lot of her actual scenes are just like, I want to be head patted by my big brother, she still is, they still somehow manage to make her her own person, right? And you can definitely see her resolve of, I'm not going to succumb to the demon urges. And I'm going to help out my bro.
Yeah.
It's cool stuff. It's really cool stuff.
Yeah, she's cool.
She's definitely not helpless. And
she's the opposite of helpless.
That's exactly what I was worried about when I saw... I just saw that character design.
Yeah.
And I saw that they literally put her in a box.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, she's just going to be the fucking useless... She's going to be used as a character where... Tanjiro has the win in hand and then she gets kidnapped or some shit. Yeah. It's like, oh, fuck. But it's not. It's the opposite. Mm-hmm. It's just like, yo, Tanjiro's in a rough fucking spot.
Yeah.
Nezuko comes and just like yeets him in his face. Right?
Yeah, it's something else.
It's good. That whole kickball match that they were having, like, there's a lot of good stuff they do with that character.
Yeah.
It's a great show. It's a good show.
It is. You're coming up on some good stuff, though.
I am. I want to get caught up on Fire Force. And I kind of want to see what's going on in Dr. Stone still.
Okay, yeah. I caught up on Fire Force. Fire Force, the most recent episode, they show you how Fire Squadron 8 came to be.
Oh, okay.
So like they show you like where they came from and why.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool. And they show you the most powerful character in the show.
Awesome.
And he's... very strong. He's very strong.
He's not the strongest character for no reason.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. But yeah, I've been watching Demon Slayer. That show's good.
Yeah.
That show's real good.
How did you feel about the, because now that you're watching it, the challenge on the hill? Where he had to fight the
demon, get locked for a week or whatever. Was it 3 days a week? And only like 4 people came back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you meet that demon who's like, my whole purpose is I just eat all of your master's students.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty fucking cruel.
That was the point in the show where I'm like, okay, they ain't afraid to throw dark.
Yeah.
Right? Especially in the pool scene.
Yeah.
When he gets the, quote, reward.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's just like, fuck, that's rough, man. This show doesn't care.
Yeah.
Like, it will throw dark.
Yeah. And then you remember that, and then you're like, that's where these two characters who helped me train this boulder.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh
shit.
Fuck. Yeah.
I also love that the only people that survived the whole trial were people who had different colored clothes.
Oh yeah, they were ain't no basic bitches here.
Yeah, all this fuck, I look around and it's like, okay, there's one guy in yellow, there's one girl with weird eyes, there's a guy with a mohawk. They all live in.
Yeah.
And I come back, they're all alive.
Yeah, that's more or less how it worked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like, I also like Tanjiro's whole thing of just like, I'm very, how do I say, gracious, I guess.
Yeah.
But he ain't no bitch. Like,
oh no, he ain't no bitch.
Yeah, he tries to like, that one scene where the guy with the mohawk grabs one of those, the weird twins' arms.
Yeah.
Or by the hair.
Yeah.
And Tanjiro's like, if you don't let go of her right now, I'll break your fucking arm.
Yeah.
And I'm like, woo, baby. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he like, the mohawk guy tests him. He's like, yeah, bitch, what are you gonna do? And he just shatters the forearm. And he go crunch.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, fuck. Like.
Yeah. He gets in trouble for that kind of stuff, but it's good.
Yeah, it's cool to see a character who's like the goody good.
It's like, yeah, if like Goku just didn't stand back and let shit happen all the time.
Yeah, like he had this like kind of like inner resolve.
Yeah, he's like, listen, you're bad. I'm gonna stop you before this gets out of hand. Yeah. Instead of let's see how strong you can get.
Yeah, let me look at you. What kind of special moves you got? Let me take a couple hits.
Yeah, is that all you got?
Yeah, come on.
Show me your second form.
You know, Super Saiyan. Yeah, that's what it is. And I absolutely love the main villain.
Oh.
He's so cool.
What's his name? Mitsubishi?
Yeah.
No.
It's Mitsubishi?
No, that's not it.
Mitsubishi Lancer?
Yeah, something like that.
Yo, that scene in the alleyway?
Yeah.
With the two drunk guys?
Oh, yeah.
And the girl? And you're like, this dude is evil.
It's no joke.
Yeah. Do I look pale to you? Do I look pale to you? Right? I'm like, oh, bud, relax. Chill. It's okay.
No, it's not.
No, it's not, motherfucker. It fucking melts that girl.
Yeah. Like, holy shit.
It's cool. It's a good show.
Yeah.
Highly recommend.
Oh, my God.
So good.
Yeah.
I think that's been my week. Okay. It's been a lot of POE. It's been a lot of cleaning up. I went through my record collection.
Yeah.
And I learned that one third of it was just empty cases.
That's kind of depressing.
It is. It's not really, because I still have a shit ton of records.
Yeah.
But I looked at it and I'm like, wow, that's like up to my kneecap
of just emptiness, of
empty record. Oh my god. Sleeves. And I chucked them all in the recycle bin.
Oh, that's good. Good for you.
And yeah, I've been clearing out a lot of stuff that I just didn't realize I had,
mm-hmm.
and stuff that I just don't want. Mm. I think I got rid of those like Suicide Squad comics that I bought.
Yep.
I got rid of some records. It's I don't know. In some levels, it's relieving, because it's like I'm getting rid of certain stuff that I don't even want and I was holding on to and stuff like that. I even found like things from like my first ex-girlfriend. Whoa. That I still had. I didn't realize I still had.
Yeah, those kind of things you kind of just shove away.
Yeah.
And you kind of forget about it.
And then I come back and I'm like, oh shit, this is from that.
Yeah.
And I set that shit on fire.
Yeah.
But it is nice to kind of just like really take into account what you have.
Yeah.
And just make sure you're really only keeping the things you truly want.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens when like you move.
Again, I do have a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't take up a lot of space.
No, I know.
I think the real problem will be when I move in with somebody else. Right?
Yeah.
As long as I'm like a single bachelor, I think that'll be no issue.
Mm.
But when it comes to like, oh, I got to share a space with pretty much the same size. Like, unless I just go full baller and it's just like, just go straight house. Right?
Good luck.
Yeah. And this Canadian market, good luck.
Good luck.
So yeah, just like, man, mm-hmm. it's nice. I'm not going to full Marie Kondo that shit.
Oh no, I know.
But
I got to go through my clothes again. I got to get rid of half of my closet.
I got rid of a lot of clothes.
Yeah.
And the people that were hard pressed to let me get rid of them were my parents. Right? Where I'm just like, I don't wear any of this shit, but they're like, it's nice. And it's like Calvin Klein. Like, well, I'm like, I don't need it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't wear it.
Yeah. That's what happens every time I get rid of my stuff. Because I put my stuff, like, and I'm like, before I throw this out, I call my mom and I'm like, okay, is there anything here that you want to, like, I don't know, hold on to, give to somebody, blah, blah, blah. And she'll go through it and she'll be like, wait, you can still wear this. How about we just put it back in your closet? And I'm like, no.
That's not the point.
Yeah.
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 The sweater's so nice. Yeah. It looks so good. I'm not gonna. I haven't worn it in years. I'm not gonna wear it. So,
yeah. Sad times at Ridgemont High.
It kind of feels good to like donate shit.
Yeah, for sure.
Right, like the records and comics I'm giving away. I'm giving to people that want it.
Yeah.
And it's like, it makes me feel good to make them feel good. It's like that episode of Friends. You can relate to this.
Oh yes.
Where Joey's like, "There's no such thing as a selfless good deed."
Yeah. They're right? All like selfish.
Yeah. I'm doing a good deed, but then I feel good for doing it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll see. Yeah, I gotta do a cleanup of some stuff, but we'll see.
I haven't been in your room in a while. I don't know if you still got a ton of shit, but
there's a ton of stuff.
You sure? I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, it's a mess.
But yeah, that's been my week. Kind of adulting. Trying to get ready for school next year.
Oh yeah.
Stuff like that.
Cool.
That's it.
Wicked. That's it for us this week. We'll see you next time.
Oh, also, stay tuned for Anime Club.
Absolutely.